Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yecheskel, Perek Chaf-Dalet, Chapter 24. This is the last of four prakim talking directly about Yerushalayim. In the last three prakim, we have learned in great detail of the sins of the city. Now we will hear about its destruction. This perek ends the first half of Sefer Yecheskel. The Navi has prepared his people for the Chorban, and it reaches its fruition here. In Gemara Bava Vasra 14b, it describes Yerushalayim as Resha Chorvana V'Seifa Nechemta. Its beginning tells of destruction, and its conclusion tells of consolation. This parak includes two prophecies which symbolize the imminent fulfillment of the Nevuah. First is a Nevuah with a mashal of the pot and meat, which brings to mind the mashal from Parak Yud Aleph, Chapter 11, when the city proudly said it would escape harm as it was a protective pot. In this Nevuah, the city walls become a death trap for the occupants stuck inside in three stages. This Nevuah was told to Yecheskel on the 10th of Teves, the day the Babylonians began the siege of Yerushalayim. That date became one of four fast days which the Jewish people accepted to remember the Chorban. The goal of these fasts are, according to the Rambam, to awaken us to do tshuva. In the future, this date will become a date of joy as the Gullah's experience will lead us to Geulah. The second Nevuah tells of the death of Yecheskel's wife by a plague on that day and a prohibition for him to mourn for her. It is a symbol that just as his wife could die suddenly, the Beis HaMikdash could be destroyed in an instant. It teaches us about the way the people will be able to react to the Chorban. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Yecheskel sets the stage for his Nevuah. Vayhi dvar Hashem elai b'shana ha-tishis, b'chodesh ha-isiri, b'esar l'chodesh lemor. And the word of Hashem came to me in the 9th year, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, saying, Yecheskel is told to record the exact date and day of the week of this Nevuah. When reports come from Yerushalayim about the beginning of the siege, the people will be able to verify the truth of this Nevuah and all of Yecheskel's Nevuot. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Ben Adam, Ksav lecha Hashem hayom es esem hayom hazeh. Son of man, write down the name of the day, of this day, this day, Samach Melech Bavel el Yerushalayim. The king of Bavel has sieged Yerushalayim. Yecheskel is told to say a mashal. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Sifos hasir sifos, v'gam yitzok bo mayim. Set on the fire, set it, and also pour water into it. In Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11, the false prophet said memorably, Hi hasir v'anachnu abasar. It is the pot, and we are the meat. Meaning the inhabitants of Yerushalayim would only leave when they wanted. There Hashem had said the pot, that is Yerushalayim, would be a tool for punishment. Here that punishment is being realized. In this perek, water is added to the pot. The Radak tells us the water signifies intensified suffering. If cooking is done with dry heat, it is a quick process. With water, the meat can stay in the pot for longer and stew. The explanation is that the siege that starts this day will last a while, so that famine, disease, and interfighting can run its course. In the first stage, Yecheskel is told in Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, to collect good pieces of meat. Nesach tov yarech v'chasef nivchar atzamim malei. Every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder, fill it with the choicest bones. Rashi says that this symbolizes that all the smartest and strongest men came to Yerushalayim because it was unsafe to stay outside the city during battle, so the city became very crowded, and it contains also all the people who needed to be punished. In Pasuk Hei, Yecheskel is told to arrange the bones under the meat and then to raise the flame to a boil. Some Mefarshim say that the bones were put in the pot to support and protect the more delicate cuts, while others say the bones are to be put in the fire to fuel its flames. Both these approaches have merit, where the bones can both protect the meat in the pot and also be fueling the fire. In Yerushalayim, the strong soldiers will help the weaker residents, but they also murdered the weaker ones to their advantage. Those sins fueled their destruction now. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, continues with the powerful imagery. Oy, Ir Damim, woe to the bloody city. As we explained before, the city was full of murder and corruption. Sir asher chalasa ba v'chalasa lo yatz'a mimena. This pot whose filth is in it and whose filth has not left. Generally when cooking, a person removes the gristle and the fat. Here it is left in the soup, much like the sins of Yerushalayim are still with her. The food would be taken out piecemeal and not by lots. When we make chulent, my boys will divvy up the best meat among themselves. Bishlayim, at the time of destruction, all would be lost, Rashi says. Each group would try to get its own interests taken care of rather than dividing the resources among the whole group. Why such a harsh punishment? Pasuk Zion, verse 7. Ama bisocha haya, kliach sela samasu. For her blood is in her, the midst of her, she set it upon a bare rock. Lo shifachasu ala aretz, lachasos alav afar. It was not poured on the ground to cover it with dust. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Lahalos chema linkom nakam, that it might cause fury to come up, that vengeance might be taken. Innocent blood had been shed on a rock, meaning murder was done publicly with no attempts to hide it. Hashem let it fall on the rock so that it could not be hidden and would be avenged. Chazal say that these psukim are referring to the tragic incident of Zechariah ben Yehoyada, mentioned in Divrei Hayamim Beis, chapter 24. He was a Navi and Kohen in the times of Yehoash over 250 years earlier, who tried to prevent the nation from erecting Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim were angered by his words of rebuke and stoned him to death on Yom Kippur, which was on Shabbos. Hashem did not allow his blood to be absorbed into the ground, and it bubbled up every time the people tried to cover it. When Nebuzaradan came onto Har Bayis, he saw the boiling blood and threatened the Jews with torture if they did not reveal the cause. They admitted the truth, and Nebuzaradan vowed to appease Zechariah. He started slaughtering tens of thousands to atone for the sin. As the numbers of slain mounted, Nebuzaradan cried, "Zechariah, Zechariah, I have slain the best of them. Do you want all of them to be destroyed?" Immediately the blood was absorbed into the ground. Upon seeing how even one soul is important to Hashem, Nebuzaradan abandoned his post and was converted. This is what it means that the blood was spilt on a rock in our psukim, and it was left there to be avenged. Returning to the mashal of the fire, Hashem says he will now punish the Erdamim, the bloody city, by making a huge medura, a bonfire, and put on a kindling and wood to increase the flames so that the meat is unrecognizable and the bones would also be burned by the intense heat. When all the food in the pot has been burnt, Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Vamideha al gechaleha reka, leman techam v'chara nechushta. I will stand the pot, the cauldron, on its coals empty, so that it will get hot and the bottom will burn. Once the bottom burns, the impurities will leach out of the walls and it will be cleaned. The Malbim says that once people have received the punishment for their sins, they will be purified. Mitzvah David adds that after everyone is killed in Yerushalayim, the city itself will sit desolate, which will remove the sin from the city as well. Hashem now explains why this is the only option for how to cleanse the city. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, V'lo seitzei mimena rabas chalasa v'ish chalasa. Its great filth cannot leave from it. Only with fire can the filth leave. Because, Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, Tiartich v'lo tahart, I tried to cleanse you, but you were not cleaned. Rashi says that Hashem sent so many Nevi'im to encourage them to do tshuva, but they never listened. Then come the words that no one wanted to hear. Pasuk Yud Aled, verse 14. Ani Hashem dibarti ba'a v'asisi. I Hashem have spoken. It has come. I have done it. The Mitzvah David said that the siege of Yerushalayim has now begun. Echoing the warnings we have heard so many times before, Hashem tells us, Lo efra, lo achus, lo enachem. I will not go back, nor will I spare, nor will I repent. Kidrachayach v'chalagosayach shavatuch. According to your ways and according to what you have done, I will judge you. The next half of the parak moves from this mashal to a different mashal. Here, Yechezkel's life represents the angst and anguish of the Jewish people's new mission bereft of the Beis HaMikdash. His wife, who he loved deeply and with whom he was most connected, would die suddenly in a plague. He would be left with an extraordinary loss, but now his loss is not just personal. It represents the loss Hashem feels for his partner, for the Knesset Yisrael who was sent into Galus. There could be no outward expression of grieving, as the loss is one that the whole nation must feel. How he is to mourn is a blueprint for how the Jewish people are to cope with this loss in Galus. There is going to be a balance between moving on and mourning. The words of this nevuah are poignant. Hashem tells Yechezkel that his wife, Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16, Ben Adam, Hineni lokeach mimcha es machmad inecha b'magefa. Son of man, I am taking away from you the darling of your eyes. Yechezkel's wife, who he loved very much, would die in a plague. Das Sofrim tells us that the word using the Shoresh, Lamed Kuf Ches, lakach, to take, is only used with Chanoch and Eliyahu, two very righteous individuals. Yechezkel's wife was a tzaddikess. Velos tispod, velos tifkeh, velos avod dima secha. You may not lament, nor weep, nor may you shed a single tear. Yechezkel would only be allowed to sigh, but only in silence. He would not be able to sit shiva, receive visitors to console him, or accept asudas havara, the meal the community prepares for the mourner after burying the dead, or follow any of the halachos of a mourner. The only halachos he needed to follow would be not to learn Torah or greet other people. Likewise, Bnei Yisrael would not be able to adequately mourn for the Beis HaMikdash. Yechezkel was a representation of their suffering and was not able to express his inner sorrow in any visible manner or share his pain with anyone else. And so it was, Pasuk Yudches, verse 18, Ba'adaber el ha'am ba'boker, and I spoke to the people in the morning, Vatamas ishti ba'ered, and his wife died that night, Va'as ba'boker kasher tzuvisi, and I did on the following morning, after the burial, like I was commanded. After relating the first nevuah and that his wife would die in Asar B'Teves, his wife dies that night, and he does not act with any customs of mourning as was expected after the burial the next day. The nation was intrigued by the behavior. Pasuk Yudches, verse 19, Halo sagid lanu ne ela lanu ki ata oseh. Won't you tell us, what are these to us? What are you doing? The people knew that Yechezkel would mourn his wife. They wondered what was the symbolism of what he was doing for their benefit. Yechezkel told them that indeed this was only done as Hashem had told him to. The reason was, Pasuk Chafala, verse 21, Hineni mechalal es mikdashi. Behold, I am profaning my sanctuary. Here, Yechezkel is telling the people that it is not as they appeared that the foreign nations were destroying the Mikdash. Hashem himself is the source of the destruction. And just as Yechezkel lost the darling of his eye, Ga'on uzchem ma'achmad enechem u'machmal nafshechem. Bnei Yisrael will lose the pride of your strength, the darling of your eyes, and the longing of your souls. The Malbim says the Shekhinah in the Mikdash was like the love of a husband and wife. In addition, Uvnechem uvnosechem asher azavtem b'cherev yipolu. Your sons and your daughters whom you left behind when you went into Galus shall fall by the sword. When this group went into Galus, they had to leave their entire families behind them. They left fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, and now they'll learn that they were killed. Perek Chaf Dalid, verse 24, Vasisem kasher asisi. And you will do as I have done. You people will not be able to mourn, neither for the Mikdash, nor for your children who were killed, just as Yechezkel was not able to mourn. Why were the Jewish people unable to mourn outwardly? Malbim explains that mourning practices are there to differentiate between the mourner and those who will comfort them. Since they are all mourning, no one is there to provide comfort. Moreover, they would be afraid that the Babylonians would react to any outward displays of mourning. While they could not do any outward public displays of grief, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, verse 23, Nimakosem bavonosechem unahamtem ish elachiv. You will pine away because of your sins, and you will moan one to the other. Everyone would be completely broken. Yechezkel's behavior was a sign of things to come when they will finally hear about the Chorban HaMikdash and the death of their sons and daughters. Pasuk, and how will they hear this news? Pasuk Chavav, verse 26, Bayomahu yavo ha-palit elecha v'ashma us aznayim. And on that day, the refugee will come to you and you to cause you to hear it with your own ears. Perek Lamed Gimel, chapter 33, we learn that the refugee comes on the 5th of Teves in the 12th year with the reports of the destruction that happened between the 17th of Tammuz through the 9th of Av, and they verify all the rumors that have been swirling around in Bavel about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This refugee, according to the Pirkei Avot, was a particular refugee. That's why he calls it Hapalit, the refugee. He was the Malach Michal who was tasked to deliver the news to Yechezkel. While the delivery of this news was tragic for the nation, it also changed the relationship between Yechezkel and the nation. On that day when the refugee came, the nation finally began to realize that Yechezkel has been correct the whole time. Usidaber velo se'alem od. He will be able to speak and won't be silenced or ignored. Vayisa lehem lemofes. He will be a sign for them. The Metzudas David tells us that at that point, they will finally begin to believe him like one who believes a wondrous sign. We have seen in this perek two distinct parts, which have been tragic to read and to understand. Yechezkel first told the people in Bonneville that the final destruction has come to Yerushalayim. He used the mashal of a pot, which upended what they had thought would happen. This destruction of all people and the city would cleanse them of all sin. The second part was how Yechezkel was a representation of the Jewish people's grief over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash when his wife died. Just as he could not mourn publicly, when the Jewish people learn of their immense losses, they too will need to be silent. The grief will be heavy, and they will finally realize that Yechezkel's nevuos of the Charban had been correct all along. This will lead to the second half of the Sefer, where we finally hear of the consolation of the Jewish people by Hashem. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas Malka Esther Basvi Yosef.